we didn't have a CD player in my house, and there were certain records that were maybe they were on like a Japanese import version or something like that, which I'd bought on CD, then I had to take to my friend's house and dub to a C90 so that I could enjoy them. Yeah, that's the kind of boomer shit you're dealing with today, Mark. I'm sorry.
Welcome to List Envy, the podcast that you have to unspool with a pencil. I'm Mark Steadman, and that is a very 90s joke. Also, every week I bring on a guest, and together we collaborate to build a top five list on a topic they choose. This week, my guest is fellow 90s boy John Hickman, returning to the podcast. And together, we are building our top five list of piano pop artists.
I'm not going to do mine in a particular order, which I guess is fraught with danger, and I've probably already broken the show. Sorry.
That's absolutely okay. We will figure out the order as we go.
So these aren't like a preference order, but I'm going to throw one out forward right now. I couldn't not put this chap top because he's the bloody piano man, so he has to go at the top.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So Billy Joel, there he is, straight first name on the team sheet. Put him in. There you go, Coach. Billy Joel.
How much of his oeuvre are you... Because, like, Americans who really know Billy Joel really know Billy Joel, and, like, you know, they go fairly deep. How deep do you roll with Billy Joel is what I'm asking.
I'm not American. So, you know, you can give me a pass there. I don't need to claim to be an American fan of Billy Joel. I'm an all the hits guy, Mark. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm an all the hits guy.
Yeah.
Get me a greatest hits album of that. I'd be all right with it.
Yeah. Give me some We Didn't Start the Fire, some Piano Man, Still Rock and Roll to me.
Uptown Girl's fine. Well, we'll have that.
She's Always a Woman to me. In the Middle of the Night. I mean, it's all good.
Not necessarily my go-to piano pop man, but I've got to pay the dues. Got to pay the dues, haven't you? That is the saying. it's a strange saying, isn't it, really?
It's really. You'd think it would be more concise.
It's more of a bit than a saying. It's like podcasters will meet in the green room and they'll all have a go at telling the thing about paying the dues to the piano man. And they've all got their own way of saying it. Some people are very scatological with it. Some people are very dry. And you're one of the people who I would call a tail offer. You really hit the descent into madness on it, and that's your power.
I got called out by a client yesterday while I was on a call, and I was just like half completing a thought, and and she was like, "Did you just rewind like a cassette?" I mean, it doesn't matter. Anyway. okay. Good choice. Fine choice. Perfect. He was, of course, on my list. My number one, it was the first one that came to mind, kind of route one choice for me. Ben Folds, Brackets 5.
Ben Folds, Brackets 5. Right, cool. probably is my actual number one pick in terms of if I'd done this in a ranking, also my number one in terms of probably plays on Spotify or Apple or whatever, and probably my number one in terms of the following anecdote, Mark, which has definitely not been pre-prepared. Some time of this parish, Nick Morton, and when he heard that I was coming back for another go on List Envy, he said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I've pitched to Mark the idea of doing piano pop, rock or pop bands or acts that are known for the piano." And he said, "Well, that's funny, John, because there's only one Ben Folds." And I said, "No, there's five." So my reputation preceded me on that, that he was like, "Well, are you actually going to be able to get any more than that? Because I don't think you've got it in your locker, son."
The shade.
Yeah, I know.
Who's the real Slim Shady?
Love Ben Folds, stroke five. One of my friends at uni, got me into Ben Folds. I do listen to his stuff a lot. I'd love to see him live. I've never seen him live. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen him live when he used to play Chat Roulette, which is fantastic. If you've never seen it, you should Google Ben Folds Chat Roulette. He used to do a little segment in his live show when Chat Roulette was a thing, where he would just dial into chats and start playing piano and improvising songs at people, including the best one, which is where he interrupted somebody on the toilet.
Oh, why would they? Okay.
Mark, it was Chat Roulette. It was a time.
Yeah, I know.
It was a thing that people did when we used to think there was some goodness in the world and fun. and you know, you could just do whimsy.
Chat Roulette was the first one that was like, I think the internet is breaking apart.
No, it was a bit of whimsy. It was a bit of fun. And it was an economic, but kind of had to try and operate economically. And then it disappeared.
And then it, yeah.
The internet that we lost.
The internet that we lost. Yeah, I think... I mean, good, great songs. I love, I think what I like about Ben Folds is I like bands and artists that show off. You know, I really enjoy, like, I like my jam bands because I like bands that really go, right, we've got some skill. We're just going to show that at you now for 10 minutes straight with, you know, and I dig it. It's all on show. That, you know, no, nothing's left in the locker. It's just all out there, and that lad can play the piano.
This is what I was hoping for from you. This is why I wanted to bring this to you, because you know, you're my muso friend. You're my guy who knows how to play music. You're my guy who knows how to play a piano.
Sure.
So,
okay. All right. I've
brought this to you like a cat with a dead bird, and I've dropped it in front of you, and I've said, "Now what, Mark?"
Mm.
And you know, I'm putting down that vibe, and you're picking it up. This is the closest we're going to get to a jam, you and me, because I'm just not on the same page as you musically. Yeah, tell me more about Ben Folds' piano style. Can you kind of unpick a little bit about what he's doing? Is it jazz? Am I listening to jazz? Is that what I'm doing?
You're listening to improv. You're listening to, I think, things that have roots in almost like ragtime honky tonk, kind of like Chaz and Dave, like, you know, that kind of real proper glissando. So the glissando, you know, the hand down, you know, down the thing, down all the keys. Lots of almost kind of wall of sound. So lots of sort of percussive, you know, being able to create a kind of a bass line and a melody and a rhythm section sort of all in the same, you know, in both hands. You know, you might have your bass line going, and then, you know, depending on how good you are, you're going up and down the octaves and stuff with the left hand. I'm not good enough. But then on the right-hand side, you know, you've got lots of sort of furious energy. One or two of the other acts that we'll talk about have that kind of thing. And it's big and thumping, and there's lots of it, and it's dense. And I think you get a lot of that with Ben Folds. It's hugely energetic, and I've never seen video of him perform, but I can imagine there is a lot of sweating.
So it's like, I've watched quite a few videos of him. He's got a lot of like young Elton John, kind of lots of like standing and leaning down on the like almost pushing his whole body into the keyboard stuff.
Yeah, because you've got to figure out, like, it takes that energy, and you know, standing energy is very different. You know, and it does bring a different kind of energy. And I think there's probably a gravitational thing as well, because there's so much downforce on the keys. Yeah, there's a lot there. And also, you've got to be really nimble in a way that I never was. Like, you're supposed to have, so a good pianist has their fingers further up the keys, as in, you know, almost vertically, if you like. So you're in amongst the black and the white more than you are sitting on the white. And I tend to sit on the white. And so I have to go, my hands have to go up. And so I learned that and never unlearned it. You know, my first piano teacher never sort of beat that out of me, of like, you need to be in the keys, because then you can really get in amongst it. And yeah, but you need some fast, you need some fast hands, and some incredible, like, left brain, right brain, left right coordination. It's patting your head and rubbing your tummy. It's all of that stuff.
And of course, Ben Folds sings while he's doing it as well.
Yeah,
so he's carrying the whole thing.
And it's like, it's one of the things that I think it's worth noting about, like, early Ringo Starr. If he was singing, he wasn't drumming.
Okay.
That might have changed because he is a good drummer. As much as there is a joke there, I think he, you know, there's an amazing story actually. Very, very briefly, I think it's in Hey Jude, which is a lovely piano song. I believe a take was rolling, and Ringo didn't realize that a take was rolling, and so sat down. And then when you get to "Anytime You Feel the Pain," that's when the drums come in. And that's him just going, "Oh, I should be playing the drums." And just effortlessly, like, glides into it as if it had always meant to be there. That's the sign of a good drummer, right? But, you know, not someone who necessarily sang and drummed. But then you've got your Phil Collins, very much that. Also, Eagles, guy from the Eagles, also a singer and a drummer. That is real hard. And I can play the piano and sing, definitely. But I can't intricately play the piano and sing. And that's the big old difference. I can hold the melody, and or I can hold the rhythm and the supporting sort of chords and stuff. But if I need to do something a little bit more intense, then, like, my brain can't bifurcate in that necessary way.
And can you talk to me about musically what's happening with, like, I think this is probably something that will come up in a few of the other bands. Certainly, there's one thing that I'm going to bring up that we'll have the same question, like, how is the band structured, and how important, if you look at the Ben Folds Five stuff, is the drums and the bass alongside the piano? How does that work, and how does that differentiate maybe to having, like, a guitar taking the lead?
I don't know that it does that much, because the piano is doing, like I said, it's sort of doing two things. Probably more, it's more akin to the rhythm guitar. So it's that supporting thing. And then when there isn't necessarily singing, then it might be taking a bit of melody and taking the stage that way. But the rhythm section is hugely important, because that's got to keep, because a piano, you know, it's not percussive in a way that even a guitar can be. Like, a guitar, you can get some nice percussion going with a guitar. And a piano doesn't have that, you know. It can keep a rhythm, but it's not percussive in the same way. And so a good rhythm section with the bass and the drums, like, really keep the song from becoming too, 'cause I think piano on their own, the songs can become a bit mushy. And there's certainly, you know, if you're just going to listen to a whole album of that, like, that's fine. And if that's what you want, then that's good. But I think you need that extra bit of, well, it's texture, you know, it's crunchiness. It's a very different frequency. And so you need that much lower frequency to balance out what tends to be the higher frequencies of the piano. And you need counter melodies and stuff like that as well. Because a piano can be doing one set of rhythm, and then the bass and the drums can be doing, or even separately, can be doing their own rhythms, which all syncopate beautifully together.
Can you tell me your favorite Ben Folds songs, being as you picked? Give me like one from Five and one from Solo, maybe.
I really like his cover of Video Killed the Radio Star, which I think might be him on his own. But then in terms of the Five, I mean that sort of first album, I'm thinking Uncle Walter is a really fun song. Alice Childress, that's a lovely song. There are some very sort of pretty songs. And Alice, I think that's what it's called, Alice Childress.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. And then from one or two of the other albums, I'm trying to think, but, like, yeah, that's what initially comes to mind.
Nice.
What about you?
So it's hard to get past your army and your brick, isn't it, really? Like, you know, in terms of they're obvious picks, but they're obvious picks for a reason. I would also say, so every time I go through an airport, I sing Landed to myself.
Mm.
Do you know that one?
I'm not sure if I do.
It's just because it has the lyrics, "Come pick me up, I've landed." And, like, as soon as I land, I'm just like, "Come pick me up."
Nice. Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those where it's kind of probably not actually like a very happy song, but it still kind of like makes me happy. So whatever. I adore Fred Jones, which tells a story about a guy being made redundant because of the March of Progress in newspapers, which is very kind of connected to my work. So that's amazing. The Luckiest is probably one of the most beautiful piano songs that I'm going to talk about today. So yeah, I would definitely pick that.
Perfect. Who is your number two?
So because you picked Ben Folds, I'm going to go straight in with Regina Spektor.
Aha!
Who I kind of slept on for a long time, and then Spotify served me up a duet between Regina Spektor and Ben Folds, which was a cover version of Dear Theodosia from Hamilton. And I really, really adore this track. I love it a lot. They complement each other really well. I think they've done other things together before. And I was like, oh, this Regina Spektor, like, I kind of like thought she was some kind of like New York art rock, indie landfill 2000s, I could ignore person.
Yes. That's why she's not on my list.
I quite like the Orange is the New Black song.
Yes.
That was fine.
Yes, agreed.
But I've never looked it up beyond that. And then I took a deep dive on it, and I love her work. She's really, really, really great.
Yeah. So a mutual acquaintance of ours used to put Regina Spektor on in the office, and I remember just there were one or two songs just going, I hate this so much. I really, really dislike this. It might be that I remember playing a Guillemots album, and there's one song which is like, it's meant to be awkward and really sort of kind of a bit atonal and a bit, and like once you understand the story behind it, it makes total sense. But everyone in the office was like, oh, what is that? And it's like, this is art, man. So yeah, maybe I need to give respect Regina the same respect.
Go at it via that Dear Theodosia track. Because I know you like Hamilton, I know you like Ben Folds now, there's an album called Soviet Kitsch. I like most of the tracks on that album, so that would be the place to go after that. The song Us, I really, really enjoy. I probably can't get you to explain to me what's happening musically in any of this if you're not overly au fait with it.
But that's I'm glad you mentioned her, because I think it would have been remiss for her not to be mentioned. I just couldn't. Yeah, but I'm Spektor skeptic, but I'm willing to be brought in.
That's basically where I was. That's kind of, yeah, that was, yeah, same. And actually, that little moment was when I reached out to you and I went, I want to talk about piano pop, because I think I like a piano in a song, Mark Stedman. And I want to make a list with you about it.
I really enjoyed that moment where you go, wow, I think I had this artist pegged all wrong. And I remember watching the snooker and
right.
They played a song from Back to Black, because it was like, it had the word frame in it.
Black, they were that's using a snooker it. Word. They got yes, all the words.
Exactly. And now the final frame, Love is a Losing Game is the song. And so this was the Mark Ronson produced album. And I'd already decided that I didn't like Amy Winehouse. And I heard this song and I thought, this is beautiful. And it's obviously Amy Winehouse. I was like, yeah, that voice is unmistakable. And I was like, that was just enough of a gateway in, enough to just like jam the gate open to go. I mean, I haven't gone back to the first album, but that Mark Ronson album, and then, you know, covers and various things, and like, okay, you know what, I gave her ill shrift, and she deserves better. So I appreciate the nod there. I'm going to add to our list Elton John.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
He had to be there. He had to be mentioned today. He has to be.
Yeah. I mean, he's unintelligible now and has been for a few years. I enjoyed the sort of video from, I think, 2020, where he's just going, it's quite fun. But he, you know, he's very good at what he does. He's very good at the piano.
Can you give me another couple of bars of that, please?
It's, you know, he has become Vic Reeves, obviously, the pub singer. But like, there are no consonants anymore. It's, and so, you know, the consonants went a while back, but hopefully the
consonant
is still there. He is in consonant.
In consonant, that's the one.
I'm enjoying myself a lot.
But yeah, there's such a depth there of work. It is very, very much piano led. I mean, we haven't really kind of nailed down our terms here, but I think we're nailing down our terms as we go. You have to associate the instrument with the person or the act as being like primal to what they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he's the British piano man, isn't he?
Yeah,
let's face it. He is the piano man, really.
He is the piano man.
Billy Joel just got out there and got the trademark. But
but there ain't no film about him and his life.
There probably is.
Yeah, probably is. It's probably called Straight the piano
to
man.
TV, probably. Turner Classic Movies.
I know this isn't a zero-sum game. One can watch both. But because they were coming out at similar times, I sort of went, well, Bohemian Rhapsody is the one I want to see because it's got that man from Dr. Robot on it.
Right.
And so, you know, that's the one I want to see. But obviously, you know, they are not mutually exclusive. And I am led to believe that probably Rocketman is the better film.
Yeah, no, you definitely missed out there. So Dexter Fletcher was parachuted in to fix Bohemian Rhapsody, which, you know, it had all the pieces. Very much like a scene in Bohemian Rhapsody. All the pieces are there. They just needed someone to actually put the stuff together. He came in and he did a good job of saving it, but Rocketman he made, and he was like, that was his project from the get-go. And you can kind of see how Bohemian Rhapsody would have been a much, much better film with a bit more of a singular vision around it. Rocketman is really, really good fun. And I think I always had a soft spot for Elton John's music. It's something you heard on the radio as a kid all the time, you know, because I'm Still Standing. Give me another bar if I'm Still Standing.
No, I want to do, because the one that's in my head now is, when the doctor, jumping now, oh, let me see again, jumping now, with the doctor, healing.
Well, that's great, because I was about to talk about the 90s as well.
Yeah, because, you know, that's so you were talking about CDs earlier. That was one of the first CDs that I remember us having in the house.
Oh, wow.
Was that Healing Hands Sacrifice, that whole deal.
That whole looking like a middle-aged lady era of Elton John.
Indeed, yes. Yeah, good. Some good stuff in there.
Yeah, so and he did like Lion King and stuff like that in the 90s. So he was, despite being like already pop royalty, he was very ubiquitous when we were growing up. The 70s stuff, we had a copy of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road in the house, but it didn't get played that often. So what I learned about him from the movie, and obviously, you know, it is a movie, so there is going to be some
and there's some unreliable narrator fun things in there.
Yeah, and I think it's quite strongly based on his autobiography. But he's sort of kind of slightly introverted kid, somewhat self-taught at home because there was a piano there. Got a scholarship to a music school, and so had classical training. I don't know how much that kind of comes across in it all, but also played in like dirt rough pubs,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like playing the piano to survive, in a sense of like, you know, you will listen to me because I am going to dominate you with mm-hmm. this instrument. So I guess, is it fair to say that musically you can kind of like hear a combination of like London singing around the old Joanna and a bit of classical?
So who's next for you?
I may be about to insult you, and you may be like, Jonathan Hickman, I know who that is. I suspect I'm going to throw something out now that you're not overly familiar with, so we might not be able to talk about it in great depth. I'm also, this is the one where you might be able to argue me down on a technicality. So my kind of conception of what we were doing in terms of this list was the piano had to be central. It had to not be an act where you are like, they've got that banger that's got a piano in it, but that's an outlier. So I'm not going to accept, if you bring it up, I'm not going to accept Guns N' Roses, for example, even though November Rain is very much hanging off the piano. To me, that's just like the rock stars want to have a sit down in the middle of their set. So we'll piddle around on the piano for a little bit. So with all that said, I'm going to put in the entire oeuvre and back catalogue of a beautiful, wonderful man called Sean Smith, who passed away. Who, do you know him from that name?
No, I don't.
I shall continue then. So Sean Smith is like, or was, a contemporary on the Seattle scene with all those grunge bands from the early 90s. And I first came across him when Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam, between Pearl Jam Records, got together with some mates and did like a little side project record. And it was a record called Shame, and they put it out under the name of Brad on a record label that Stone Gossard set up specifically for the project called Loose Groove, which he also published some other music through from other acts. So Brad is like kind of funk and jazz infused rock. Some of the members of Brad carried on in another project called Satchel, which is a very similar sound. And Sean Smith did a lot of solo stuff, and he was also in a band called Pigeonhead. The piano is there in most things, but it's not like a piano sound. But he, I think of him, and I think of him in Birmingham, in the Sunflower Lounge downstairs, on a piano, playing all these songs, with not really much by way of support, just him doing renditions of that kind of really rich vein of back catalogue, and not just the projects that he was kind of formerly a member of, but some other Seattle bands with people who'd passed away. He was kind of like keeping their songs alive. If there's one thing to go and listen to after this to kind of like connect with this artist, he used to do a cover of a song called Chloe Dancer, Crown of Thorns. And the band that did that originally was the band that was kind of the precursor of Pearl Jam. But they were called Mother Love Bone, and their singer died. And then the kind of the remaining members found Eddie Vedder and became Pearl Jam. He does that song, and he was a huge Prince fan as well. He does that song, and he does it in a medley with Purple Rain. There are several live recordings of it around the internet. Some of them will be him on the piano. Some of them will be other people on the piano. But it's the whole thing is kind of held together by the piano, and his voice is just incredible. It's so rich. I think you'll really, really love his voice, because I know the sort of vocals that you like. And yeah, he died, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now. So he died young, I mean, like in his 50s, but young. And Brad recently, like last summer, put out a record that was like his final recordings. They were working on the record when he died. And it's a really, really, really beautiful record. Yeah, go and look it all up. He was a fine pianist, to my eyes. My ears.
Yeah, yeah. Good pianist for your ears. Thank you. I think you made a lovely case. I want to, that briefly makes me think of something that I'd like to bring up. It's not someone that I'm going to add to our list, but it's beautiful, it's piano, it's perfect. And you're going to hear that and go, the next words out of my mouth don't make sense in that regard. But Burt Bacharach and Bare Naked Ladies performed together live and did a cover of... do you call it a cover when it's his own song?
A rendition.
A rendition of Close to You, obviously popularized by the Carpenters. And Stephen Page's vocal on that is perfect. I mean it is perfect. You know what I mean? I mean, he hits every note perfectly. And it's in true Bacharach style, because Bacharach was famously a he was very exacting, I don't know if demanding would be the word, but like, you know, he was very clear about what he wanted and how lions should be delivered and things. And so it's probably no coincidence. But if you want to look it up on YouTube, it is worth looking up. Benhick ladies, they play, because they're a very, you don't have to enjoy their stuff, but they are a very musically adept, group. And a very, very tight rhythm section. Like, we talk about tight rhythm sections, like they are glued together. And this is an exquisite performance, really, really worth a listen. And so, just want to try.
Are you entering that one into the list? Is that an entry, or is that?
It's not an entry. Not an entry.
Ah, okay.
No, I just wanted to
make Bacharach an entry.
I did think about that, but he isn't so much the performer, really. Yes, he does perform, but not really. He writes the songs that then Aretha Franklin and Dusty Springfield and the like sing. With Hal David, but you know, he can play them. He just, you know, is less of being front stage. So that's why I didn't pick him. But yeah, definitely a piano man. I'm going to throw out a Muse to you.
Muse?
Yeah.
The band Muse? Okay. I'll need some convincing, considering what I've already nailed on the mouse up here.
Yep.
I've come in, I've put my pamphlet on the door, I've told you what I think.
I think they are more piano forward than you might remember. They are actually quite piano forward. Matthew Bellamy is the pianist. He be's an organist as well. And if we think about Origin of Symmetry, there are some really piano forward, piano heavy songs in that repertoire, in that album. The 20th anniversary of that came out a few years ago, and I have it on vinyl. It's wonderful. It's lovely. It's been remastered and stuff, and it's great. I really like Muse, and I've never seen them live, and I want to see them live. But that is a band that is as piano forward as Coldplay, but I'm not going to pick Coldplay.
We're now in the proving grounds of this list. I think we're now in an experimental phase. We've been very safe so far.
Yes,
you can't say that Billy Joel is not the piano man. You can't say that Elton John is not still standing. You can't say that Regina Spektor doesn't play the keys.
Absolutely. I've definitely got more piano artists. I just wanted to throw in Muse because I like them so much, and I think they are more piano than you remember. However, there are definitely more piano-ass artists in my piano list. So, you know.
So to use the Coldplay example now, regardless of what you think about them musically, I do not see them as a piano band. I see them as a band that has some piano in it.
Huh.
So I would, yeah, so that's now.
But
now
that's where we Chris get into Martin sits.
Doesn't he stand up and hold the microphone and he's got things written on his hands? Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, but we saw the things written on his hand because we saw his hand playing the piano.
Did we do that?
I mean, this is early Doors, I think I'm thinking. Because probably everything's synth nowadays. But I think about, you know, the early sort of...
The parachutes.
All yellow and whatnot. And the parachutes and the whatnot. All piano.
Is it really? That's fascinating. Have I just Chris Martin affected myself?
I think so, yeah.
Got a false memory about Chris Martin.
I think maybe you did. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
But anyway, I've made a
case. So what does it mean for a band who turns their back on the piano?
Oh.
And moves away from the piano? Are they now part of the list?
Surely not. If they've rejected the piano. And I don't maintain that Coldplay have. I just haven't put them on my list because I don't find them that interesting.
Yeah, they got some songs. But what I'm saying is, if you say to me like Muse is as piano as Coldplay, I'm like, oh, I don't know if Coldplay is piano.
And therein lies our difficulty, because it wasn't like you were like, oh, you can't say that Coldplay are really piano forward. You're like, I don't know if piano. So yeah, that's all right.
Also,
like, yes,
are they piano in Muse, or are they keyboard, or are they organ? Well, to talk to me about this.
Primarily piano. But definitely also organ, probably less keyboard, but you know, more piano. But yes, definitely keyboard. But yeah, it's okay. I just wanted to have said their name. I didn't think they would make our final five, so that's all right. I absolutely wanted to make.
So you've achieved and unlocked one of my hopes for today, that you would unlock something in my head about something, and you have. I need to take this newfound enjoyment of listening to the piano and go back to the well of muse.
Yeah, do go back to the muse well,
which is in my D&D campaign at the moment. The well of muse.
I mean, he has got +4 to dexterity.
Well, he certainly has with all those instruments he's playing.
Absolutely. Who's next for you?
So this is a band who I immediately decided I hated and then had to very quickly walk it back.
Oh, lovely. I love this.
Yeah. I was like, what is this rubbish on the radio? Get it off. I don't like it. Blah, blah, blah. Again, this was kind of like indie landfill era. I was like, oh, more nonsense. Come on. Shove it. Get out of here. Keane.
Yeah.
First album, Keane. Like, it's a great record.
Also, second album, Keane, when they fitted pickups to the piano.
Oh, okay.
So you've got that song. I think it's the first song on that second album, the one that goes wee 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 wee.
Right.
That's the piano. They figured out. Yeah, yeah. That was the whole point. Is they figured out how to add pickups to the, I guess, the hammers of the piano to give it a very different sound.
Well, that's really cool as well. I love that. Love a little bit of experimentation.
So they never rejected the piano. They just found a way to make it even more interesting. But yeah, Tom, old Tom from Keane. Weird things I remember. Like, it was about 10 years of them gigging and stuff before they you know, suddenly became the overnight success. You know, it was an overnight success, 10 years in the making. An unsexy band. Kind of dad kind of band before their time. I was playing them on the piano at uni, Somewhere Only We Know, and the other one. that's not me giving short shrift to the music. I just couldn't remember the other one that I used to play of theirs. And you know, for a brief time at university anyway, among my media students friends, that was quite cool. And then very quickly stopped becoming cool.
Did we just hope we didn't? Oh, I don't know. I didn't realize. I missed that moment.
But you had that reaction because you listened and you were like, oh, it was bloody nonsense.
Oh yeah, but I went the other way around. I was
yeah,
like,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
I hate it. Oh, actually, can I come back in now? Yeah. Yeah.
Can I please have a slice now? So favorite Keane?
Is it a bit rude one to say Somewhere Only We Know?
No. It's no rude one. Yeah, there we go. Keane.
Again, sort of, this is what I alluded to earlier on. Talk me through how the band works musically. I'm interested.
Oh, I don't know if I know that much other than I think it was, I actually don't know. I think there's just the three of them.
Yeah.
And I think it might be, again, Ben Folds Five-esque.
Yeah.
Drums, bass and piano, I think.
Yeah, that's it. So the question is why, when we have these two examples and they work really, really well, why has the guitar been the default pop instrument? That's quite interesting, isn't it, to know? You don't even have to have the answer to it.
I wonder how much it has to do with portability and the fact that you can always bring the guitar to a place where you seldom can bring a piano to a place.
It's like the football thing, isn't it? You just need...
Yeah. You just need a football, and suddenly you've got a game going.
Yeah, jumpers for goalposts.
Exactly. the traveling troubadour can absolutely travel and troube.
Troube their doors.
There is no troubing to be done when you've got a troube a piano up three flights of stairs. So you know, even before the modern invention of the keyboard. So I suspect that's what it is. You know, because if you think about like. The Hamburg scene and all that kind of stuff in the 60s in Europe, and then probably the bar scene in America, like bands being able to go from gig to gig, night by night, maybe even a couple of gigs a night or whatever. And like how the Beatles gigged straight, like every night pretty much for 2 years or whatever it was in Hamburg. That's how they got as good as they got, because they just put the reps in. And your ability to be able to do that, chopping yourself around, you know, there's probably, you know, as long as the venue's got a drum kit, you're probably okay, or you set up your own. Still easier than carting a massive Moog around.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because isn't it? I've kind of heard it said that the Beatles were like, they didn't even have real instruments when they started. They were kind of in that sort of skiffle, kind of using a washboard type of.
Oh, they were a skiffle band, yeah.
I guess pianos are expensive as well, right? In a way that,
yeah, and maybe like difficult to maintain.
A cheap guitar isn't.
And you know, you need a person to do that. Like, you can tune your own guitar, unless you're like me and you're so highly strung as a person that you can't restring your guitar without having a nervous breakdown. That aside, yeah, most people can, you know, take care of their own instrument, whereas a piano needs like a flipping crew to maintain it.
So yeah, so keener on the list then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You'll have no argument from me about Keen and their place. I mean, they were like one of the first bands that I thought of. Well, I'm going to finish us off then, I think. I think I've got to go Stevie Wonder.
Oh, hello.
What I think I really like about Stevie Wonder is that I talked earlier about how I like bands that show off. He shows off in his songwriting. Like, if you think about the song, Don't You Worry About a Thing, that whole song is showing off his ability to manage a chord change vocally, but also, you know, it's the, you need that dexterity because you've got, let's see if I can do it. When you get on, future, you know, that it's to be able to do that and manage those steps down, and those several several semitone chord changes, and then, you know, you've got some of his, you know, other things like Sir Duke. Like he's someone who likes to show off how good he is at writing music, and making things that are perhaps more complicated than they need to. Quick side jag, there is a metal artist at the moment called Tommy Johansson, and he does metal covers of, among other things, ABBA.
Oh, wow.
And they are really, really good, and they show you just how good the songwriting is of ABBA, because I don't much care for ABBA, and it's got nothing to do with the songs. I think the songs are fantastic. I just don't like their sound. And never really have. But when you hear how, it's like Churches, when you know that Churches can play their songs acoustically on an acoustic guitar, you realize they're actually just good songs. They don't need the electronics and the production and the wall of sound, because at the heart of it, there are really good, well thought out melodies and a beautiful singing voice. It's the same thing with Turtles All the Way Down. But with Stevie Wonder, like, it's just, It's that ability to just show off, and yeah, just phenomenal music. And even up until 2005, he was on my list. You know, so What the Fuss is a great song from 2005. Like, it's a real banger, and I think often overlooked. It's a really good song. A lot of time for the man.
Yeah. No, can't fault that as a pick. Love Stevie Wonder. At Easter, I was on holiday in Japan, and we were on our first full day in Japan, in Tokyo. We had a tour guide just for us, and they knew that we were all vegetarians, so they'd arranged for a vegetarian restaurant, which isn't necessarily the easiest thing to find in Japan. But we went to this kind of vegan cafe thing. And it was a shrine to Stevie Wonder when we got there, because it turned out that that's where he used to go out for dinner when he came to Tokyo. And I felt genuinely giddy.
Yeah.
Thinking that Stevie Wonder, because it was a tiny little, it had enough room for, like, I think it had like four or five tables. And there's pictures of him on this little tiny mezzanine above the other tables doing a gig after a show. and the building hadn't changed in like the 20 years since he'd done it. And I was like, this is amazing. I love it so much. I think he is one of those people who, yeah, just a 20 years later brush with the same place where he was just made me smile and feel like lots of energy and like, yes, Stevie Wonder, man. Love Stevie. We used to listen to Stevie a lot in my office like 20 years back or so. He was regularly on our heavy rotation. So yes, please.
Yeah, a real varied, you know, variance of stuff. I mean, there is some just unadulterated cheese. I mean, you know, I just called to say I love you. I mean, the one with McCartney, We Are the World. These are all songs that are puke inducing. But you also have, like I said, you know, Sir Duke. I mean, Superstition.
I mean, McCartney's the same, right? Not obviously the same because they're on the same record. But McCartney's got the same thing in his back catalogue.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Of like so many songs that you're like, oh, Paul, could you not with that? And then it's like 10% that and 90%. Oh my God, this is incredible music.
Yeah, it just you know, and iconic. A child performer on the harmonica, not even on the piano.
Oh wow.
He was little Stevie Wonder, and he played there's this lovely recording which is on a Motown compilation, and it's of him singing and playing the harmonica, and I've got something else I want to add about the harmonica in a minute. And it's in two parts. I think it's called Fingertips. And it's in two parts because the second part, he just starts going off on a riff. And there's this moment where the band are like, oh, he's going off on one. Let's join in. And you've got a guy shouting off stage, going, what key? What key? Because he's trying to figure out what he should join in. And you can hear it on the recording. And obviously at some point finds it. But it's good. And he's playful in it. He quotes a bit of Looney Tunes and you hear the crowd, you know, I don't know how old he was, but he was young. And it's, yeah, that's quite cool. Very quickly on the harmonica, he is someone, there are two people when they play the harmonica, I can recognize who they are.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? By going.
That's quite a bit that. Go on. Who's the other one?
Yeah. So Eurythmics, Talking to an Angel. That's not the name of the song, but you know the one I mean. There Must Be an Angel. It's probably just called Angel, isn't it? He does the harmonica solo in that.
So, sorry, Stevie Wonder's doing the harmonica solo in that. Oh, I thought it was the guy from the Eurythmics was your other harmonica guy. Okay.
In this track, There Must Be an Angel, it is Stephen harmonicanizing. I don't know why I called him Stephen. And once you sort of know that and then you listen back to other Stevie Wonder tracks with a harmonica, you can hear it because there's a cleanness to the way he plays.
Maybe he is Stephen when he's on the harmonica and Stevie when he's on the piano. It's like Ian M. Banks.
Yes.
That's how you differentiate between the two of them.
And then the other guy is a guy called John Popper from the band Blues Traveler, who I remember hearing on another jam band and going, that sounds like John Popper. And I looked it up and it was John Popper. But Stevie Wonder, it's kind of an unmistakable sound and no one really plays the harmonica like that anymore. And it's because no one plays the harmonica like Stevie. But we're not talking about a harmonica, we're talking about pianos. Ah, so John Hickman, God bless that man. Second time appearing, of course. You can find a link in the show notes to a slightly more misanthropic episode of List Envy from 5 years ago, where we talked about things that we were leaving behind. Misanthropic might be a mischaracterization, but it was certainly two men realizing they were hurtling towards middle age and trying to figure out what that meant. but yes, you'll find a link to that in the show notes. We have got lots of lovely episodes on the way. Next week, I'm joined by Aisha Khan to talk about androids from sci-fi films. This is from Aisha, who's rapidly moving up the podcast charts with her every sci-fi film ever podcast. We also have some other very interesting people about podcasting. Stephanie Fuccio, Lex Friedman to come. And in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about ways to defeat the gremlins in your brain as well. So lots of stuff. If you are not already subscribed to the podcast, then listenvpod.com is where you can go. And that'll give you all of the buttons that you need to subscribe to the show. Or you can search for List Envy in your favorite podcast app. It will probably show you two results. Either of them is fine. It's weird. I did something about 5 years ago that screwed it all up, and I've tried to fix it ever since and it's never really been satisfactorily fixed, but it's all fine because it all goes to the same place. So yes, do that. Now, before we get back to the list, you've heard us talk about all sorts of acts here, from your Ben's Fold, to your Elton's John, to your Spectre's Regina. Who did we miss? Who did we get wrong? You know, let us know. Let me know. You can either leave a comment on this episode if you tap the title of the episode in your podcast player, or look for the link in your player that says episode webpage. That will take you through to a comments section. Or you just email me, mark@hellostedman.com. Drop me an email and let me know, like, who did we miss? Who did we give short shrift to? I want to know. All right, we've got a job to do. Let's get back into it. I've taken the liberty, John, of drafting up a provisional top five here, and I'd like to run this past you and see what it does to your flagpole. So from 5 to 1, Regina Spektor, Stevie Wonder, Elton John, Ben Folds, Billy Joel. Thoughts.
Now, this isn't going to be as cozy as it often is for you when you do the list, because
that's fine, because sometimes I can be a little bit conciliatory, so I'm here for a fight.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I often kind of hear it and people are just like, yeah, Mark, I'll just accept whatever you're floating past me. I would like, and I can't quite believe that I'm going to suggest this considering where I was when you talked to me about it, but I think in the spirit of education, I would like you to put Muse in there.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I'll let you decide who to take out in a second.
That's really hard.
I would also, and it is unfair because you've not heard him before, but I would also like, as a tribute to Sean Smith, for him to be in the list. If you can find a place for someone who you've never heard to be in the list, I can negotiate on that, and just you know we can put him in a special mentions list on the side if we have to. But he was a really special man.
In some ways, I'm happier for Sean Smith to live on the list than I am Muse, because I it's not that I don't want Muse to be on the list. It's like, who do we kick off? And that's what's really tricky.
I'm not as rock solid on my love of Billy Joel as I am of the other acts that I've heard of. So I could stand to lose Billy Joel if we wanted to make some room.
I feel like that's going to make so many people annoyed, and I'm really here for it. that easily slides Sean in at number 5 then.
It's beautiful.
Because one of the things I'm always conscious of is, you know, especially when two dudes are doing a thing and then we end up creating a list full of dudes, like, I also don't want it to be tokenism, but at the same time, I do also want to recognize, like, I also had Norah Jones on my list. I also had Victoria Wood as like we'll get to honorable mentions in a minute. Yeah. Okay. So from 5 to 1, then Sean Smith, Regina Spektor, Stevie Wonder, Elton John, Ben Folds.
I consent to
John
this
Hickman,
list.
Do you consent to this list?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I stole your thunder there, man.
That's all right.
Waiting to say it forever. It's like getting married. I do. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So speaking of honorable mentions, then. Adele was also in there, very much in there. Norah Jones, she was another one who Watwood sit at the piano and do her sort of very beautiful, sultry Come Hither voice, Come Away With Me, if you will, which is the first album. Lovely, lovely voice to listen to. Sort of kicked off that resurgence, or that sort of, as it was called, vocal jazz at the time, which was very much not really jazz at all. But it was, you know, those people lived number one on the album charts, you know, and were talked about on Radio 2 for quite a while. Katie Melua, another one. Just, I mean, oh my God, that woman, stunning. But also lovely voice.
So I should be listening to Muse. I should be listening to some Norah Jones.
Yeah, and some Victoria Wood, because...
She's on my list, mate. She's on my list.
This is delightful. Tell me about Victoria Wood.
So I put an honourable mentions list together, which was people who I was hoping that we would bring up, but I couldn't square them with the theme. And they are Les Dawson, Victoria Wood, Richard Franch.
Oh, Richard Franch. Yes. I mean, I could also add Neil Innes very happily to that list, and Tim Minchin.
So we're basically in comedians who do pianos.
Yes. But Victoria Wood,
which I'll let you do with John Bounds in a few weeks' time.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Victoria Wood was just, she was ridiculously talented. And there's plenty of artists. And I think Tim Minchin might be one of these, maybe near the beginning, who were a bit more like four chords, kind of plink plonk, you know, funny, really funny lyrics and stuff. But she wrote intricate melodies. I mean, the Ballad of Barry and Frieda. There's quite a few other songs. That's an easy one to remember, but like...
That's the one that's also known as Let's Do It, right?
Yeah. And there's proper piano playing in that, not just in the, you know, yes, like Les Dawson had to be a completely massively capable pianist to be able to do the jokey playing that he was,
yeah.
But she also played beautifully, and I think that's not to be forgotten.
Yeah, and Richard Franch was the musician member of the classic Who's Line lineup.
Such a great
of
pick.
The late 80s, early 90s. So he would be the hoedown man.
Yes.
For the hoedown round at the end.
Yes.
Amongst other musical stylings that he did. I think he's a multi-instrumentalist as well.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Oh, well, that's a great pick. And that, yeah, that's why it made me think of Neil Innes, who was also part of the Bonzo Dog Band, and knocked around with the Pythons. He had a few songs that he did, because he was also in the Ruttles, which was the Beatles spoof band, and sort of wrote a bunch of those songs, but was also, he has a lovely song called How Sweet to Be an Idiot, which is just
that.
A really lovely, pretty, you know, slightly funny, but, you know, more whimsical kind of little piano pop song. And yeah, brilliant man. I was very sad when he passed away a few years ago, because I should have liked to have seen him live, because he used to so there's a guy called Colin Sell who used to play with I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, you know, if we're talking about Whose Line Is It Anyway, similar kind of vein, and he used to do Colin Sell would do the music for that. But when Colin couldn't turn up, Neil Innes would chip in, and I would have loved to have seen him live.
Only people who were excluded because of rules. I really love the Charlatans. A lot of their sound is driven by the organ, but that wasn't a piano. I mentioned a few, you know, rock bands who have got big numbers that are piano based. None of that. Could include Queen alongside Guns N' Roses in that kind of area of like having some big piano songs. And some of my favorite REM songs are really piano driven as well.
Night Swimming, yeah.
Electrolyte. Is probably my favorite. One who would have gone on the list, because he mostly hits the rules, would have been Tom Waits.
Yeah, I don't know enough of his oeuvre, but yes, I can dig it. Yeah, then we can get down into like keyboards, because then you've got Midgeur, and that's a whole extra thing. Marvelous. Well, John, this has been educative. It's been fun. It's been sweet. It's been tinkly at the top, and it's been profound and bassy at the bottom, and somewhere in between as well. So I've loved it. Thank you.
Yeah, you've been holding it together with your left, and, you know, doing the flower with your right, or the other way around. I don't know which one.
That's it. Some of my fondest memories are playing Mr. Blue Sky for something that you or John have put together, getting wheeled out at the end of a thing. Mark just played Mr. Blue Sky on the piano, and that always makes
Oh, that's a point. You are literally written on my document underneath Victoria Wood. when I was looking at comedy songs, the 11 bus song, obviously we made you do on stage, and also, as John trailed previously, we are working on a little project which we are hoping to get you on to tickle some ivories for.
Yes. Do we have any more information about that now?
The main information is that it's a little bit blocked because I haven't finished my edit yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it will be coming soon. If you follow John, you'll find it.
Well, what if people want to follow you? Where should they go?
Theplan.co.uk is my main website. I'm on.
You did well to get that domain name.
I did. I'm on most of the socials at John Hickman, but I'm not particularly chatty at the moment. I haven't quite worked out how any of it fits. X is the one not to contact me on because that's just a holding page.
All right. Well. John Hickman, no H, but a place in my heart. Thank you so much for joining me this week on List NV.
Thank you for having me.